Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jujitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a blue belt full of curiosity and questions and out of breath because we just finished rounds.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, not out of breath because I didn't roll.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Well, you guys were even today too, so.
It was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, so it was great.
And today we are talking about
bringing value, like whether, especially as a white belt, like do you have to bring value to your partners?
I feel like the internet screams that we must bring value to everything we do.
Right.
Or maybe because I see a lot of marketing, like the algorithm feeds me
That's marketing. True. Things. Yep.
So I feel like, yes, if I don't bring value, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah. Like that you're not worthy or you're not enough or,
I'm worthless. Well, yep. I'm not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I never feel that way at blue, but I can see where I'm white.
But definitely. Yeah. That's a good question. Do you feel like that at blue sometimes? Like,
yeah.
From a drilling and rolling standpoint?
Not as much from the drilling, but definitely from the rolling.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay. So let's reverse engineer all of this, right?
Oh God.
Like as a blue belt, when you're rolling with a brand new white belt, do you feel like you're not getting enough value out of them?
No, because then I'm always like, oh, I can work on this or I can work on that. And, you know, maybe I could work on my scissor sweeps.
Right. Yeah. So do you assume that the upper belts have the same feeling when they're rolling with you?
No. That's not how it works in my brain.
And I get what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely.
But in my head, no.
It's different. It's different. It's always different when it's you.
Because I'm special.
And you know, like, I think it's human nature, right? Like, I can feel the same way myself. I'm the black belt, but, you know, maybe I'm not using an arm or something like that. And so I can see like getting into that like thought process of, and I wasn't saying I wasn't using an arm because I was so good. I didn't need that limb. But maybe if there's an injury that I'm not talking about. so I'm like, you know, keeping one arm attached to my belt. But I can see that. I can see feeling like, am I still providing value for my training partner?
I mean, there's a piece of me that's like, well, at least I'm a body. I can move a little more than the dummy.
Yeah.
There's that.
Way better than the dummy.
Yeah.
He's very hard to move. He's not very limber.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think there's a lot of different aspects to this, right? Like one, just like you said, you can work on things that you struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I often tell everyone like, start, you know, grab a tiny teenager or something like that. Like when you're first starting to learn something, try and like work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
Get good, like, you know, Tyler's good at hitting people above his rank in a couple of moves because he's practiced those couple of moves so many times.
Right.
So then you're going to be able to hit people of all ranks with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So being able to work on something you're not good at, that's a great reason. But also, like from an upper belt standpoint, something that is really good for me is you can give me different reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I might not anticipate that somebody would do blank when I try to do blank. You know, like when I tried to go for A, I didn't realize they were going to go to F. You know, like
right.
So that gives me a wide variety of reactions and then knowing how to deal with those reactions. Mm-hmm. So like I might go with certain people, especially because like I can't figure out, they always react this way and I can't figure out the best way to come back from that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I think, not to make it, you know, a super short podcast.
We're done.
We're done. And that's it. I think in general, it's the upper rank's responsibility to get something out of the role. Right? To bring their own value. And that's the truth for both of the people, no matter what their ranks are.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring your own value to the role.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's somebody that maybe even is on the same level as you, but just murders you,
mm-hmm.
what value are you getting from that? If they're murdering you the entire time?
For me to get value out of it, I have to set an intention mm-hmm. and have a game plan going into it. Or I just got murdered.
Right.
Yep. For no good reason.
Yeah.
But if I have a game plan, I'm like, God, I didn't get the sweep I wanted. I didn't get the submission. I didn't get anything. I couldn't pass their guard. So why could I not get to those things? That's the value then. How do I fix what I'm doing wrong when I couldn't get those things that I said I wanted?
Right.
What, did you just not want him bad enough?
So then you at least had an idea of what you were trying to go for.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then sometimes it's just like, okay, I know this person just smashes me. Mm-hmm. And if I can be smashed for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. that's a win, right? That's right. The value for me. So I think that no matter what your rank is, finding your own value is important.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this, like off the mat kind of tip as well, right? Like you yourself yes. have to find the value.
Funny how that works. Well, and I think sometimes too, for me, especially if I'm going against a higher rank, it's just, I'm just going to play defense.
Yeah.
And this is what I need to work on because, okay, we'll just use Tyler, for example. Mm-hmm. How do I stop getting scissor swept?
Best of luck to you.
Yeah.
I mean, like Tyler hits me with a scissor sweep and I am hard to hit with a yeah. scissor sweep. Like that's, you know, like that's not, I'm not trying to brag or anything. Like that's just one that
yeah.
people struggle with unless they do the foot push. And he's not even doing the foot push one. No. He's doing the old school standard and he just gets it, mm-hmm. right? Like, so, you know, I think sometimes you also have to know, like, sometimes people are really good at a couple moves and no mm-hmm. matter how you react, and you can try different reactions, whatever, right. but like, they know how. They're going to get it.
Yeah.
Because they've drilled that a million times.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where he is with that.
Yeah. But for me, sometimes if I know what somebody's game is, like if I've rolled with them enough, then I'll be like, okay, I've got to watch out for that. And then that's part of my intention. Yeah. Could I defend it? Did I defend it better than I usually do? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And that can be from a lot of different points, right? So, you know, maybe it's that he always scissor sweeps me. Okay. Then I'm not going to go to my knees the whole time,
mm-hmm.
right? If I'm not on both knees, he's going to struggle to get that. So yeah. I'm going to make sure I keep one foot up, or I'm going to make sure I'm standing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then being able to go, well, he never got me into the position where he could scissor sweep me.
Right. I need to be making some notes.
Yeah.
Glad we can fix my jujitsu on this podcast.
That's what we're here for. Right. It's an audience of one. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you for coming to my jujitsu therapy.
But I think this was a really good question, just because I think a lot of people do struggle with feeling like, oh, I'm so sorry you have to drill with me, or I'm so mm-hmm. sorry you have to roll with me. Like that, we had a woman the other night. It was like the second round. She was standing on the side, and I was like, "Do you want to roll?" And she's like, "Well, if anybody wants to." You know, and that's because she's a no stripe white belt.
Mm-hmm.
So she feels like, well, if they want to, they'll come get me. And I was like, you're going to have to learn to ask, mm-hmm. right? Like if you're sitting on the side, people think you're not rolling. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, you at least have to get out in the middle. And then I can help you, you know, like maybe raise your hand, maybe make eye contact with me and I'll be like, hey, you know, Megan's looking for a round. So like, I'll help you ask, but you have to learn to get out there a little bit mm-hmm. and ask.
Oh, wait, is that an off the mat tip as well?
Yes. We're full of them, right? I'm full of something. I'm just kidding. but yeah, absolutely. Get out there and ask for what you want and don't feel like it's a burden, mm-hmm. right? Like everybody here is going to get something out of rolling with Megan. So she should get out there and let people take her for rounds, like let people ask her to roll. And that's for everybody. You know, like yeah. I think throughout jujitsu, there are tons of people that struggle to ask people to roll.
I don't know anything about that.
And you know, like in like a morning class, you have a great benefit of it being fairly small.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that's in there, you've rolled with multiple times, you know, like, so it's pretty easy to be like, all right, I've got you next. Like there's no question about that.
Right.
But like at role model camp, you know, you struggle with it.
Yes.
Which is why we just ask people on the podcast, mm-hmm. hey, come ask us.
Come find me.
But even just being out in the middle
mm-hmm.
is part of asking, right. right? Like even if you say, hey, come find me, but you are sitting against the wall at camp, how many people do you think are going to approach you on the wall and be like, hey, let's roll, right?
If I'm on the wall, come find me. I'm just putting it out there. If I'm in the lobby, come find me.
You guys are going to be rolling in the elevator. No, just kidding. but, you know, like that's even part of putting yourself out there. Even if you're like, you know, you just need to get out in the middle of it and be like, yes, I will accept rounds if somebody will ask me, even if you're, you know, struggling to ask yourself.
What can we do as upper ranks to encourage white belts, especially the newer white belts?
Yeah. I think one thing is noticing when people are not engaging, right? So whether that's from the start, like, hey, do you want to roll? Are you rolling today is usually how I start the question.
Yeah.
That way they don't feel pressured to say yes before, you know, so I'm like, oh, are you rolling today? And they're like, yeah, okay. So then I'm like, do you want to roll with me? All right. Then that's a like a next question.
Oh, the pressure.
Well, you know, like that way I'm kind of like relieving the pressure when I first ask if they're rolling.
Right.
Because maybe they'll go, oh, I'm not sure. And I'll be like, okay, well, if you decide to, you know, I'm happy to roll with you next round or something.
Yeah.
If they're like, I just wasn't sure if anybody wanted to, then it's like, all right, do you want to roll with me?
Okay.
As far as like when we're rolling or when we're drilling, like I think this comes from the coach as well. Like it is a overall like environment thing, an environment where it's okay to be the lower rank and ask a higher rank to roll. Okay. But in rolling and drilling, like encouraging them, letting them do things to you. For example, you know, like I always let people pass my guard when we're first starting. So I start with something very basic. You have one job, pass my guard. You now have two jobs. Don't get swept. But I'm not going to give you that job where I might tap you too, right? Like, so I'm just giving you a couple things to try. And then I progressively say like, okay, I'm going to make it a little harder. Like my job is to make it harder and harder for you. But that way they're getting to practice some things. And like, if people are like, oh, you know, like you're so good at the guard portion and I could never get around your guard. I tell them like the reason my guard retention is good is from drills like this. Like this is so good for me. So just like kind of telling them what was helpful rolling with them. And like, so, you know, like that's from a very first time, not first time, but like, you know, very, very new person. But even flash forward 6 months when you're feeling you're a white belt and you're just like, man, I still really suck at jujitsu. Like I'm kind of a burden. Like that, that is a normal feeling for people. I don't want you to feel that way, but I get it. Then, you know, like even 6 months in, make sure you're telling them the good things they did. Like I really had to fight that off. Like you are making me better at defending cross chokes, or you're making me better at defending an Americana because you go for it every single time. Even, you know, like one of my 10-year-olds in class, she goes for double leg mount Americana. That is her game. She's going to do it every time. And so I try to
God, I wish I had that clarity.
I know, right? It helps when you know very little. Yeah. You're like, okay, I know these things and this is all, you know.
Yeah, brilliant.
But, you know, I try to give her different reactions. And so it makes me think of different ways I can like try to fight it. And like, I know she's a 10-year-old, but it just, you know, you can think through those things a little bit. And be like, you know what? You're getting really good at, you know, flattening me out when I get on my hip or anything. So I think telling them the good things they did can be helpful to encourage them to feel like, oh, okay, that was helpful. Like I did something. I helped them work on blank.
Yeah.
Or
that's even,
helpful
still as a blue belt.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Or, you know, like having them start in a dominant position. Like I'm really working on my side control escapes. Can you just start in side control?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good way to make them feel like, okay, I at least get to start in a place where I'm not getting smashed.
Yeah.
That feels good. And I'm helping you work on your escapes.
I like it. I like that plan.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not the one on the bottom.
You have absolutely asked people to start in side control.
I have, and then regretted it. But that's, here we are.
We'll live to tell the tale.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I think the number one thing I've worked on in therapy is not feeling like a burden. So,
oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. One of my number one triggers. So I think we all have that feeling at times. Like, I think we all feel like we're not bringing enough value. We're pulling people down, whatever. But that's not how this community is. We've talked about it. It's kind of our theme. Like, we're a rising tide that raises all ships. And the upper belts are going to help you get better because it helps them get better.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to beat my things, because if you learn how to beat them, I have to learn how to get better at them.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Simple.
That was easy. We have fixed everything now.
We fixed it. You're good.
Golden. Can't wait to come back tomorrow and do it all again. All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in. You know we love to hear from you. We are hanging out on Instagram at Beauty and the Gee Podcast. I'm there at Brassy Broad Jen. Come find us if you haven't already. Like, why haven't you? Oh, and if you're new to the podcast and that's why you haven't found us yet, we made a starter pack for you in Spotify. There's a playlist. There's a link to it in the show notes. If you don't know where the show notes are, depending on where your app is, maybe you just slide the screen or maybe you scroll down, but there's notes with links to good stuff. Go find them and message us. We love getting DMs. We love hearing your questions, or if you've got an idea for an episode. And I'm also on TikTok.
Like, what's that thing called?
I'm on the TikTok at Brassy Broad Jen.
And I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, except the TikTok, where I'm role_model. I'm also role model everywhere you go, basically. So
pretty much.
You'll find me. I'm up to 340 followers on TikTok. So sweet. Really just making my way to 1,000 one by one.
I love it. It's good to have goals.
Exactly.
All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you
on the mat.
Beauty and the Gee is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling.